Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, this show brought to you in part by Simply Safe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplysafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom system's going to show up post-haste at simplysafe.com/Adam. Well, I'll explain to you why I got no sleep last night. A harrowing tale. Also, in the first half, we'll talk to the Verzi triplets. They do stand-up, and someone flipped me the bird for about 5 miles on the freeway the other day. Right after this.
Hey, guys. Michael Malice here. Be sure to check out my weekly podcast, You're Welcome with Michael Malice, now on Podcast One. You might know me from my terrible Twitter, my horrible books, or the nonsense I spout on podcasts like Rogan and Glenn Beck. It's all there. Are you black-pilled or white-pilled for the future of the UK? What is a man? Are you white-pilled or black-pilled? No, seriousness, girl.
No. I love the Jesse Lee piece of question.
The fact that you discovered that gives me hope for some of the things that I've still got that are missing.
Well, if you need James G. Blaine's autograph, you are welcome to it. Of course, being the co-author of How to Have Impossible Conversations makes you the perfect guest for this train wreck of a show. New episodes are available every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts. You are welcome.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the Verzi triplets and comedian Tony Baker. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now with interest rates rising, a reminder that if you want to buy that million-dollar dream shack in L.A., now is the time. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
I like being cornholed.
Well, a very difficult night's sleep for the Ace Man.
What'd you do
last night? Well,
was it hand related?
You know, although there's some numbness, and tingling, and tenderness in
that's
my right
hand. That's not what
you're
talking about.
As well, but I went to bed late-ish for me, probably about 1:15 or so. And I have this weird window where it's like at 9:30 to 10, I could go to sleep.
Yep.
But I go, it's 9:30.
Yep.
Push through.
And then at some point, it's 1:45, and I'm like, what the fuck did I? And I ate, ate half a jar of peanut butter.
Sure.
And I'm like, what the fuck did I go to bed for at 9:45 for? But anyway, I went to bed a little late with the knowledge that Phil was not feeling himself.
Oh, how many socks did he eat?
Phil had booted a couple of times earlier in the day.
What did he get into?
I don't know what he was into, but he was throwing up. And Olga fed him some rice and gave him some Dramamine. I don't know how the fuck it works.
I didn't know you could do that.
If Joe Rogan can take horse paste, then Phil can take Dramamine. And I was like, where's Phil? I don't know. So I just slept with the door open in case he wanted to come wandering in at some point. But I also had the pre-existing knowledge that Natalia and her friends were going off to Disneyland at 8:30 in the morning.
Well, they have to get there early because the lines are really long.
Well,
oh, wait a second.
I'm scared to ask if there's
a guide.
I don't think there is. Okay. I think they had tickets, although she had been there days earlier.
Wow. Sure, yeah.
But there
was
extra tickets there.
What's extra Disneyland tickets?
I don't know.
Did she work for a radio station?
It didn't work because she called me an hour ago and said they're at Disneyland. They can't get in.
Oh,
and
no.
Something's going on. Shades of the time I took Beth Ringwald to Disneyland in 1981 and a half, and we drove out there. And it was fireman's night. Mm.
Uh-huh.
And they just turned us around and told us go home.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough. I will say with the new Disneyland's really tech savvy these days. The app, everything's on the app. You order the food on the app. Everything's on the app, including your tickets. And I'd like to think that we're reasonably tech savvy for people in their early 40s. We had trouble at the gate. Christy had to do a whole thing, talk to the manager. Like,
I hate it.
It was a whole thing. It was like, no, we bought the tickets and they had to find the number and the receipt. It is not as smooth often as they would like it to be.
That's why I told you the fact that my stepson is into Super Mario Brothers and doesn't give two shits about Disney. I feel like I hit the lottery.
Run with that.
Yes.
Yes. So, anyway.
And Natalia decided to call you. To solve this tech issue?
Yeah, but I couldn't, and she's put her tail between her legs, and she's coming back home.
No.
I feel like she could talk her way in with some free tickets.
I'm curious where you guys come down on this dilemma. Not dilemma, but how would you handle this? And I'm curious, Emmy, how the rest of the staff may handle it as well.
Let's hear it.
So now it's, I haven't been sleeping great because I'm a face sleeper and my hand's fucked up and I tend to put my hand under my face,
but
my hand is numb. And I thought to myself, oh my God, if you are a back sleeper and you breathe through your nose when you sleep, you are halfway to fucking heaven. Mm-hmm.
You're halfway to sleep at all times.
I'm a mouth open guy who gets the dry mouth, who has to sleep on his face. No sleeping on flights. No sleeping. No. And when you have any kind of procedure and they go, you got to be on your back and have your foot elevated. Or cannot do it. I'm a full face sleeper. So it's been rough sledding. And I hear the doorbell to the house going off at 6:09 in the a.m. Ding dong.
I don't like that.
Something's going to be wrong. It better be wrong.
Yeah. Something better be bleeding.
Then I start running through all the possibilities. So it's ding dong, and I'm like,
Natalia's friends.
I start thinking, let's see, for Natalia, all right, but she's not leaving till 8:30. Now it's 6:10. Then I think, ooh, they're doing some work on my street. Maybe this is one of the guys saying,
gotta access the car.
Something. But I'm like, those guys don't start at 6:09. They start at 8 or 7:30 or whatever it is. So now there's also the dress code, which is
half chub.
I'm in my underpants with the half chub. The bathrobe is not with me. Do I just pull on the trunks and go to the door, or should I get something more than that? Do I do the door shirtless? Not sure who's there. Then I have this thought about maybe the fire department, but I don't know why. The fire department's always on the table. Maybe the fire department has got an alarm or something, whatever it is. So I'm walking down, and as I'm heading down the stairs, I hear the second ding dong.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, boy, someone really wants to get in here. And then as I get to the bottom of the staircase, there goes Natalia's friend in a hurry with her junk packed, meaning she slept over. And then I was like, where are you going or something? And she goes, oh, that's my mom. She's picking me up.
No.
Yeah, well, that's what's kind of running through my mind. Like, so mom's picking me up. And I'm like,
this is confusing on many levels.
Then I hear bang, bang, bang on the downstairs door.
What year is this?
Doesn't every 16-year-old have a cell phone?
First thing that goes through my mind is,
hey, honey, I'm outside.
Yeah.
She's not holding the phone, but I assume she has the phone. Now,
I don't like this.
The mom is probably one of those moms that is in one of those 5 a.m. jogging clubs or something.
Just call
her Christy. Yeah, those moms. We like to meet early because we can get our workout in before having to cook a continental breakfast for the family and then take the kids to school. Like,
what is today? Wednesday? She'd be baking a cake this morning. Don't be silly.
Right. So I have things to say to everyone. Like my dad would be this way. Like, my dad would just get up at 5:45. I would work Loveline, get home about 12:30 at night, and then he'd like, you want to do breakfast on Wednesday? I was like, what time? Yeah, but I don't know, 7:30, 7:45. I'm like, no, I go to bed at 2. Like, I'm not on your clock. So if you're on a clock, and that clock is a reasonable clock, then feel free to apply that to society. But if you're on some sort of swing shift clock, there's two sides of it. One, no ringing doorbells during the summer break at 6:09.
That's some self-awareness.
Number one. Number two, you're not allowed to come home from your swing shift where you get back home mm-hmm. at 1 in the afternoon, take a nap, and get shit ripped at the neighbor who got the weed whacker out. It's 1:45. Yeah, what the fuck's going on? Life is going yeah. on. These are daylight working hours. You put a pillow over your head. Yeah. Those are your hours. So
kill yourself?
She's ringing. Yeah. Put your head in the oven.
It's extreme.
Draw a warm bath.
Yeah. You put a pillow over your head, you can't sleep. Someone, a nurse puts a pillow over your head.
It's curtains.
Oh, you'll sleep.
You're sleeping. So I was like very perturbed. And then I was like, is that unreasonable? And then I thought, well, yeah, use your phone, send a text. And then it was kind of the second ring that got me pissed. Like, aggressive. Ding dong.
And then a knock.
Ding dong. Yeah. Like, hello.
I don't like
this. Like, I'm here at the crack of dawn to pick my daughter up.
What's the meaning of this?
And then I thought, well, she's trying to pick her daughter up. But then I thought, surely there's an adult asleep in the house who's going to get up, and maybe other family members or a dog that's going to start barking or something like that. It is not 6:10. It's like 6:08 in the morning. And then the knocking on the door, which now would that just suggest she's pissed at her daughter about something? Because I'm sure she said to her daughter, you be out front at 6 whatever. But
so you don't wake the family.
But when that doesn't happen, you're not allowed to ride that doorbell.
I am in shock. I don't know. I mean, just if it was 2 in the afternoon and the mom got out of her car to ring the doorbell, that would be shocking as well. But this is
I wouldn't say shocking, well, but this is 6 a.m.
Who goes to the door to get somebody anymore?
I will.
It's 6:10. Realistically, the mom probably said, be outside at 6. I'll be there at 6 a.m.
I would suggest that maybe the phone was out of battery juice or something like that. I think you have to just sit and wait.
Yeah.
I personally would never do it. I would walk around the outside of the house and try to
peering
tap on
same.
The
yeah,
window
same.
Of something. Same. Just bringing that doorbell. It was like 6:08. And I was like, what's going on? Doorbell's ringing. What the fuck? And then I had this thought of like, fucking Natalia order McDonald's to be like door dashed over to the McMuffins. House or something. But no, she's not leaving till 8:30. This is 2.5 hours before that. Anyway.
So did you see the mom?
I'll say no one saw you in the undies.
No, as soon as I had some context, which is a hurried daughter with arm full of clothes rushing toward the door, I was like, all right, you got this solved. And then I just turned around and went back up into bed.
Ballsy.
And then I tossed and turned because I was like, who rings a doorbell? And I don't know how you guys are with that, but I'm like, this cannot be let go. I don't know who does this. I'm going over the machinations. Like, oh, the phone was out of battery or something. So you don't ring that doorbell at that time.
And she did it backwards. I would start with the very most apologetic courtesy knock just to see if that was enough to wake anyone up. Yeah. You don't start laying in on the doorbell.
Two times.
Wow.
So then I'm laying there going, And then then Phil comes up in the room. Oh. And Phil, when he doesn't feel well, he'll just sit there and mope at you. You know, he just sits there.
Same.
Sits and mopes. And then he does a move where when he lies down, he grunts. He just goes like, ugh. Like when an old guy gets off the sofa. He's not feeling well. So he makes a noise when he gets up and down. He's sitting in the corner. Then he's up on the ottoman. And now I'm on Phil is going to yak alert, whereas I'm trying to sleep, but I'm also trying to keep an ear open for Phil, because if Phil starts to boot, I want to get there first. Now, the bedroom is configured this way, and there shall not be any hyperbole used in this description. It is a large master bedroom because I took out a wall and the door, and I actually made an office and master suite and combined it to a very large master bedroom. The large master bedroom has all hardwood except for a white, very shaggy carpet that is underneath the bed. Mm-hmm. It's a California Kings. It's a huge bed. But there is about a 2-foot runoff strip of carpet that goes beyond the bed.
Sure.
On three walls, the back walls against the back wall. So in the front, the two sides, there's like a 2-foot apron of white carpet. Phil has now moved himself to the corner, the farthest corner of the room, and is surrounded by a sea of hardwood. I'm keeping an eye on him, trying to talk to him. I'm trying to pet him. He's not in a good way, and he's clearly, I don't know if he's in pain, but he's in discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to convince him, come up on the bed, sleep with me on the bed. He doesn't want any part of this. He's just off in the corner. I guess when animals aren't feeling it, they like a corner.
They like a corner. They like to be alone.
Yes, they want to be. I wish more humans were that way.
Same.
I feel a tickle in my throat. Good. Go to Catalina,
bitch.
See you in 3 days. But he just went in the corner and he's just sort of sitting there. And at some point I'd get up and look because I have the doorbell ringing in my head and I'm also worried about Phil. And I also have this psychological thing where, oh, fuck, the night's sleep is shot now. It's shot. And I have a very busy day today. So I get up and I periodically see Phil kind of moving around. But again, is 92% hardwood and 8% carpet running in this master suite. But the 8% of carpet is a white shag.
Easily ruinable.
And Phil does have a rich history of finding the swatch of carpet and booting
it's
on
a
that.
Divining rod.
So I, some point, wake up and I see Phil laying at the foot of the bed on the carpet. But he seems to be okay, and according to Olga, he booted the night before, and Olga's fed him white rice and his Dramamine. So I'm like, all right. So I go back to bed, and then at some point, Phil's yakking. But you get the...
There's a lead up.
You get a 4 or 5 Mississippi lead in to the yakking. Mm-hmm. Now, he is over the white carpet. And she'll not be moved. He's 110 pounds. He's not going anywhere. I always feel horrible because it's like this creature is having the worst day of its life. And I'm trying to push him just 2 feet onto the hardwood. But, and
you
he has
like
no,
Satan to him.
He has no contact for this. All of a sudden is his evil owners trying to wrangle him by the neck and pull him toward hardwood while he's going through the convulsions. So I can't move him. I quickly grab a T-shirt that is on the floor, and I start spreading it out in front of him. But Phil doesn't want any part of that. He's walking past it. Now, I'm in my underpants, and I'm dragging the shirt in front of him like I'm dragging a baseball diamond in high school.
Nice.
And I'm just like, and he's moving his head right, he's moving his head left, and I'm shifting.
It's
and I'm
a matador situation.
Trying to keep it spread out. I'm also like doing some math on how much do I like this shirt. Oh, I don't care anything but the carpet. And I have it in front of him, and he's moving and convulsing and moving. And he's not moving off the carpet. He's just going more forward on the carpet. At some point, he brings up some bile onto the shirt. Then he turns his head sharp toward the ottoman and just yaks the hard stuff all over the side of the fucking carpet in the ottoman.
Like, direct hit.
Then he turns
like
back
Top
around.
Gun Maverick.
Yeah, he turns back around. He starts heading to where my side of the bed to get a little more, you know, a few more daisy cutters out there. And I got the shirt, but now the shirt's full of shit. And I'm like, God damn it. So he boots all over the place. Then there's that, like, do you clean it up now or how do we go about this?
Sooner the better.
At least spray some Clorox or something on it.
I sprayed some Clorox on it. I got some of the chunks up. I threw everything in the sink. I didn't get into the forensics of it. Of course, once then Phil was done with the carpet at this point, he went back off to the hardwood to
cool down.
For a cool down lap.
I don't mean to have, you know, the canine female unhydrated.
Hydration disorder.
But
how
did you not take him to the vet?
It was announced at about 10:30 last night he wasn't feeling it.
Okay.
By Olga. I'm like, okay, but you fed him some rice and he threw up earlier and then you gave him his Dramamine and I was just like, What are we going to do? He seems sort of sluggish, but okay. So I was like,
dogs do throw up like that, right? And get sick, and yeah, it's kind of no big deal sometimes. If feeling lethargic, just wait it out, give him some water or whatever, because a lot of the vets or the emergency animal hospitals will charge you more after hours.
Oh, mm-hmm. I know.
That's a big deal for Adam, obviously, but like it will be an upcharge.
The animal hospital knew me quite well from midnight to 7 a.m.
So that was my early morning sleep deprivation story. And then at some point, I just got up and put Phil in with Sonny and said, he's yours now.
Keep on him.
All right. I got driving home the other day on the freeway, got the finger from a driver, but one I hadn't seen in a while, which is the extended dance finger, the out the window.
Ooh, yeah.
For three off ramps, like just
making a point.
Now what happened was is I had cut somebody off, but the person I cut off was one of these people, and you guys may know these people. They sit in the pocket. They sit in the blind spot pocket. Like, I'll drive around with Mike August. He'll just sit right in. He takes his front right tire and puts it even with the driver's side, or a little behind the driver's side door. Why? And that's how we go over hill and dale. And I'm like, get out of this person's
shit. Go or
don't go. Because
I
check the shit out of mirrors before I turn, where I change lanes, and I signal. But I checked the mirror, I signaled, I saw nothing, and I started to move over, and this person had been sitting in the pocket.
And a friendly wave didn't suffice?
Well, the problem with my friendly wave is my two first fingers are bent down.
So you're flicking them off.
So my hand goes up.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a Dane Cook FU, if you remember that.
A Sufi.
A little Sufi, like it. It's not quite a my bad, but it's not a fuck you. It's something, but the hand went up immediately, but it's my right hand, and it's my bent hand.
This is very Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes. So, I tried to keep it as straight as I could, but the hand went up immediately. The guy was sitting in the pocket. If you're going to sit in someone's blind spot, you're going to get whatever comes after that. Yeah. Do not sit there.
Don't freak out with the guy.
And right. And I also always signal for a couple of beats before I make the move. But he was in that pocket. He then did the move. I'm always interested. You can kind of judge what the reaction's going to be by many different characteristics. One is male or female. Mm-hmm. Age. Mm. Sometimes I can work an ethnicity into it if I can catch a good enough glimpse. But most importantly, the car.
Okay.
This guy's driving a black, number one. I think black could be the number one fuck off. Dodge Charger.
Oh, boy.
Now
you're
going to
get what you get.
And he's like 28-year-old, kind of bearded, semi-armo guy. And I'm like, oh, boy, we ain't done with this. I moved over. I put the hand up, but we've just begun this journey. Then he's got to do the move where he does the super reckless move to get in front of me. Once he gets in front of me, hand out the window at about 45 degrees. Not low. I guess it was a clock. Could be about 10, 15.
Dennis Eckersley, three quarters.
Three quarters. Hand out, full bird, and just kept it out. Just didn't retract it, never brought it back. Wow. Just all the way
out.
Maybe
you'll
think
twice next time.
Again, folks, if you're listening, please try, and this is a big topic of mine. Try to parse out the sort of stuff that people do intentionally to try to harm you versus mistakes. If you can't lump them all in the same fucking hamper, because if you do, you'll go through life insane. Your 7-year-old will break a coffee mug and you go, what kind of attack is that? You know, it's like they made a mistake.
Yeah.
They made a mistake. There are mistakes that are made. They happen on the road all day, every day, times a million. Mm-hmm. People switch lanes. They don't see you. Please try not to internalize that as attacks. On the other hand, if someone at work is trying to stab you in the back and get,
by all means, be outraged.
Yeah, try to get that bonus that off of your sale. Then put your hand out the window. Then, but let's not just have one single mode. The life never works out for those people. It never works for those.
Everyone's
people.
Against them.
The whole of society.
Yeah,
is out there gunning for them.
Yep.
So,
and it's funny you say, you know, if your kid makes an accident, I don't know if you found it this way, Brian, but in those toddler stages and a little beyond, that is a little kid's mode. Like, you did this to me. And we're like, no, these are accidents, you know, and it's like, so little kids love to accuse that stupid chair. If that wasn't there, I wouldn't have tripped. And so do you just carry that through your life then?
It's been a real learning process for me because Tessa obviously will just knock over a thing of milk or whatever, and I'm instantly furious, but I have to bridle myself, and she goes, sorry. I'm like, Tessa, I'm not upset. Just please be more careful next time.
How does that work out?
My teeth into a fine powder.
I'm going to fix this for you. I have a drop cloth, like oil, like, you know, that vinyl cloth on my table.
Use that for Phil.
Plus, from Amazon or something, one of those water-resistant tablecloths over it, so I don't even give a shit what spilled anymore.
I have.
So you're encouraging behavior.
It's not going to change.
I have almost no thoughts about mistakes. No thoughts. I agree that, you know, when you keep telling the person, stop setting your glass of milk on the arm of the sofa.
That's less of a mistake and more careless.
Yeah.
Right. But I still have.
But you're reaching for something and it gets bumped.
I was bumped. I was sitting in my car yesterday on my way home on San Fernando Boulevard, sitting at a red light, and was bumped hardish by someone behind me. It was a bump. I was like, whoa, what happened here? I looked in my rear view and saw someone, in fact, had tapped me a little harder than a tap. And then I sat there.
Get out of your car to investigate.
What's up, motherfucker?
I sat there and I said, nah. I looked at their car. I saw they had that sort of plastic front bumper. I saw they had a front license plate that didn't have any damage. I ascertained that there was no damage to my car. And I drove on. I never raised my hand. I never put my hand out the window. I never did anything because I'm like, they know what they did.
Yep.
It was a mistake. And there's no damage done. And I could put my hand up and give the, hey, what the fuck? Yeah. But... How's that move the needle for me?
Oh, that's why a car has the dent in it. I wonder that.
When we all worked at 97.1 and I had to go to one of those ski dazzle things at night with Conway, you know, those, you know, ski show. Okay.
Ski dazzle?
No.
You don't know ski dazzle?
No. Come on,
I'm
Brock.
I'm sorry. I genuinely don't know.
What, you live in LA? You don't live in LA.
Ski dazzle?
I don't know.
Ski dazzle? Well, I know it because it was one of the many, many things the Corollas were never going to attend. There was the Super Bowl of motocross. Yeah. There was the Orange County International Raceway drag races.
There's the Boats and Toy Hauler show.
Boats and Toy Hauler. Bob Denver's going to make an appearance. There was the Ski Dazzle. And there was the other one, the motorcycle races, the flat track races that took place at Orange County International Raceway as well. I was going to be a part of none of those things, but the Ski Dazzle would come to town.
Oh, yeah.
And they
it's
would
like a trade show-ish.
It would go
thing.
Like the convention center.
Yeah.
Head and Rossignol would all set up their stands.
Okay.
And at some point.
For outdoor sports, obviously, given the name.
Yeah.
It was all
like climbing walls inside. And
they would, at the beginning, maybe even have like a little outdoor snow slide thing or something. You could try it out.
Exactly.
Ski dazzle.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know when it went the way of the dodo.
I didn't know it didn't exist anymore.
It was a pretty big part of my childhood.
It was a pretty big part of the promotions at 97.1.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
See, Emmy,
I had an undiagnosed brain tumor.
See if you can find a Ski Dazzle commercial from like the 70s or the 80s. I feel like it was going on. You're into the 90s, 2000s here, right?
Yeah, I mean, this was 2002, yeah. I guess, or 2004.
No, we're all there together.
Yeah,
06,
right,
09.
Right. Mm. So I was pulling into Ski Dazzle to go do Conway, and I accidentally tapped the guy in front of me, and I like went like sorry. This fucking dad gets out of his car, big mustachioed, angry dad with a car full of women and children, gets in my face and starts pounding on my window. Roll the fucking window down. Roll the fucking. And I was so scared. I like couldn't move. And I was like, sorry, sorry. What the fuck? The mom, the wife comes out. Like, not again.
Wow.
She's
wow.
like, honey, honey, yo, this bitch, I roll the fucking window, not banging on my window.
A car full of kids can't put a guy on edge.
That's true. There were teenage daughters in the car who've all seen this act before. She's pulling him from my car. I was so scared. I couldn't even cry. I was so scared. I went into Ski Dazzle and literally, I mean, it's huge. Tens of thousands of people.
That guy was Phil Mayer, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
Who attacked the car. Yeah.
I don't know who that is. I sat
the
there.
The Mayer brothers, Olympic skiers. Okay. Come on now. Keep up.
I was sitting there trying to.
He doesn't know Ski Dazzle. You don't know the Mayer brothers.
Timely reference.
These are household names.
So I'm sitting there trying to produce the whole time, thinking this guy is going to find me and punch me in the face. I was terrified the entire night.
Bodie wouldn't have been seen at Ski Dazzle. He was too much of an outlaw, Brian. The Mayer brothers, they wanted to hammer checks.
What about the Flying Tomato?
Can go to Jeremy Bloom.
Yeah. When did the Mayer brothers were. Twins who were downhill Olympic skiers.
I think it was before my 80s?
70s, maybe 80s. Yeah, they were Olympic alpine skiing brothers. Phil and, I don't know, Mayer, but we have the Vertzi triplets coming in here.
Maybe they'll know. Phil and Steve.
Phil and Steve Mayer. What was their... I'll buy you a second to do Simply Safe here. Did they win any gold?
Yeah, well, local... Well, this is from... I don't know wherever the hell they're from. Oh, Yakima, Washington. Local twin skiers win gold and silver in slalom. That was 2018.
That's when they put the article up.
Yeah, that's the article.
They did it in 1977.
This looks like a very old video.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they were the Mayer brothers.
Oh.
Don't know where they're at today. But
in Pyeongchang?
Hmm.
Was that where it was back in the day?
I'd be surprised.
76.
Winter Olympics, yeah. Like 76 yeah. or something. I don't think so. But you can take a deeper dive. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Today's episode is brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. We believe home security is important, and your home should be the safest place on earth. I use Simply Safe, and look. Simply Safe is peel and stick. The batteries last up to 10 years. You get the custom set made specifically for your home, doors, windows, how many openings do you have, cameras, everything. 24/7 professional monitoring. Simply Safe's agents dispatch police or first responders the moment a threat is detected. And even if you're not home or can't be reached, they're still on the job. It's just a buck a day, no long-term contracts. Named Best Home Security of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report. Third year in a row now. You customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Adam. Go there for your free indoor security camera plus 20% off interactive monitoring at simplysafe.com/Adam. Anything on the Mayer brothers?
Does Sarajevo sound correct?
Yeah. What year do you think that
84?
Was? Yeah, okay.
They both were on the podium. And Brian, you might want to get the More You Know ready because Phil says that to win Olympic gold, you have to win. That was his big quote.
The Canadian?
They're from Yakima.
Feels like they're from Yakima, Washington.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know if they were... Well, we should ask the Vertzi triplets if they were identical twins. They're both male.
Yeah.
Or anyway. All right. So they're the Mayer brothers, and took a long time to get to the bottom of that reference. But and you have fraternal twins, so says Emmy. Any Ski Dazzle commercials that from the 80s that you guys can recollect?
Would it have run on TV?
Yeah, I just thought they were radio commercials.
Because
we did so many of them.
Yeah.
I can't believe this.
Could have run on just radio, but I feel like I would see some Ski Dazzle commercials. Yeah, again, 25 years running, but we weren't going skiing, so.
They didn't need marketing.
Yeah.
It's all word of mouth.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace, Jay in Cleveland, just witnessed a woman walking into a gas station, long sleeve sweatshirt on, used her sleeve to open the door, double masked, the whole outfit, the whole gambit, with lottery tickets to cash. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
The Verzi triplets are here. Alex, Sean, and Mitchell have joined us in the studio. They have a podcast out called The Verzi Triplets Show, and they also have stand-up dates going on. We can talk about that as well. Yeah, the wisdom of opening a door with your sleeve. Now, the assholes that kick the bathroom door open with their shoe, it's the bottom of their shoe. Mm-hmm. So presumably you don't want to touch the handle because you don't want to get whatever germs are on the handle on you, but now it's on your hoodie, isn't it?
And at some point, inadvertently, you're going to wipe your nose or something with your sleeve. Put it right in there for you.
I always, if I use my hoodie, I always put the hoodie over my hand and then wipe my eyes.
That's what we're talking about. Gets in my eye anyways. Directly.
I am a door kicker, but I also flush with my foot. Too.
Oh, you're a foot flusher.
Yeah, I don't touch public bathroom foots. So.
Oh, that's Dawson wants you to pull your
mind just put your little barrel down.
Tilt it down toward you.
There we go.
Foot flusher, really?
Yeah, I'm a foot flusher.
So it's been nice talking to you.
You put the rest of us in jeopardy when you do that.
Yeah.
Well, you just want to, you just grab it with your hand? You just raw dog it? He raw dogs the toilet, too.
I do everything.
Oh, really? So do you put the little paper down for the...
Oh, please.
No. Ugh. No. Well, I also try, and we could be living in a utopia if we could... two things. We need to raise the age to purchase an M16 to 21, and people need to shit at home.
That's it.
Get your timing down. Yeah. Workplace is not the place to shit. The airport is not the place to shit. You shit at home, and then we could all go number one at the airport, on the airplane, at the workplace.
That's in a utopia, but sometimes you can't. Like, there's a porta potties. You were construction back then. We did construction too. Sometimes you just have to literally get out a hot steamy shit porta potty or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I dropped my phone in one of those porta potties one time on a job site. Yeah,
really.
I dropped my phone in there. I looked down and the screen is just glowing, and it looks like just a magic eight ball from hell. Is kind of what it looks like. That blue water.
Your phone's gone, dude.
R.I.P.
My dad made him go and get the phone out of the toilet, and he's paying for it.
It's in there with Hector's enchilada dump from Tuesday, and then afterwards, I picked that with my bare hands. Hector comes back. He's like, "You could have used these clamps." And
I was going to say, is there a tool that can make this happen?
There is, but it was so quick. It was so immediate that I had to do something. Otherwise, if the screen goes down, but if the screen goes dim, then you can't see it. It's lost it. And then I have to fish around.
Hey, Dad, can you call me in about 30 seconds?
Exactly. That was one of the worst moments.
And we weren't smart enough to use the tool. We were the unskilled labor for our dad.
We say we did the jobs that the Mexicans were too qualified for, usually say.
Right.
I worked on construction sites for 13 years or something like that. The thing about the dads, because your dad was a contractor, right?
Still is.
The kids become the sort of mule labor for the construction site dad. Like, gone are the days of the farmer, by and large, with the sons that work the
field.
Now, but the modern day version of that is the construction site. You start in high school, you're unqualified. He lets you know every 10 minutes how unqualified you are.
Yeah.
And it's all about moving drywall, digging ditches, and busting out stucco demo, right?
Literally that. And then we were also the trash boys. So we moved all of the trash out of the construction sites. And then my dad had a rule, because he was the boss, We were not allowed to use power tools.
No.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. They did not. He did not. The triplets did not get to use power tools on the job site.
And depending on what kind of dad you had, he may have actually been harder on you than he would be on some guys he picked up from Home Depot, because he had to let everyone on the job site know that there was no favoritism going toward the sons.
Right. Right? Extra hard.
Yeah, there was definitely some of that for sure. But our qualifications were like, we all three of us should have been holding the light. That was about the skill that we had. That was about, we had no other value other than cleaning up trash and holding a light.
Not Sean, though. My dad hated when Sean held the light, because he just would get distracted and go off.
Shaky hands, and if I see a squirrel or something, I just got to go over there. I'm like,
look at that butterfly.
Yeah, exactly.
Daddy, I want to do comedy. Hold the light, you homo.
That was also a very tough sell for him as well. When all three of us decided to do comedy together, he was like, not a fan of that. No. Still is not a fan of that.
One son doing it is disappointing. Three sons deciding to do it together.
He's failed as a father.
Yes, that's exactly how he looked at it. He was just like, disgrazia.
My entire legacy is ruined with their comedy.
Three college degrees right down the drain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, so you guys all went to the same college?
Me and Sean went to the same college. And
they didn't get accepted into my school, so.
Oh, really?
I went to Cal Poly, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Slow, yeah.
San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, San Luis Obispo.
You barely got through.
C's get degrees. That's all that matters.
Not to mention, you didn't even take hard classes. You took like a rodeo class. Like, you didn't
They got fun classes though. They had beekeeping. They had rodeo. So like
beekeeping.
We have lots of questions.
Yeah, I didn't get to take the beekeeping. I took the rodeo, and that'll make you feel like a pussy real quick.
For sure.
And your dad be like, you got a D in something that starts with the word B? Yeah. What the fuck? How stupid are you?
Well, that's why we ended up reverting not to real jobs after college. We ended up working with my dad and doing construction.
That's my you kept saying that he would always tell us we're unqualified. It's like, Dad, I have a college degree and you don't. Yes. What are you talking about?
Yes. Be sure to remind him of that while you're holding a beam for him.
Yeah, exactly.
I got recruited to play football at a couple of colleges, and one of them was Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, but this is in the early 80s.
So the bar is very low.
I don't know if they had beekeeping or bareback riding or wrangling sheep.
That's what they're
known
for, actually. That's why I got accepted into school, is bareback.
There must be a cornucopia of classes now that you could take that really is incredibly light lifting academically. That's just
gender
waste
studies.
Of time, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, what did everyone focus on in college?
We all did business.
All business degrees, yeah. Just completely flushing money down the toilet. But it's better, again, it's better that we didn't do like, I'm gender studies. He's liberal. Like, it would have been so much worse.
Wait, business is flushing money?
Business is better now.
I was going to say, I was a theater major, and you think you flush money down the toilet?
Well, theater works. You're in entertainment.
Finally.
Yeah.
I don't think our parents would have let us have done any of the liberal arts as a degree. Like, there's no, like, they didn't let us go to a junior college.
No.
There were only specific schools we could go to in the area that they would even allow us to go to. Mm. It's like, We child act as kids, like all the money we're spending on college, that's our money anyway. And they're trying to tell us like, hey, you can't do this, you can't do that. So
is there any other there's no other comedic triplet stand up teams.
No.
And there has been partners, no twins, I don't believe.
There's a couple twins.
Squad brothers.
Fucking the Squad brothers.
Yeah.
Now I feel like an asshole.
No, that's cool. You've probably known them for like 20 years or something.
Is it repetition, or is there an innate sense that's just there from being together for your entire lives where you kind of know where this is going or when to chime in or when to hit
the timing. I would say it's both. I mean, it took us a while. Like, when we first started, we would time, like, you say this line, you say this line, like, you say the punchline. And it was really cringy.
You think one guy bombing is bad. Three guys that collectively go up together and bomb is fucking bad.
It's like watching bad improv. But now it's like we kind of describe it as like all of our jokes are in like a cloud, and like if one person starts, like we all know where we're going with it, and it's very like nobody has any set lines or anything. It's very organic now.
But before then, it was rough.
It took a while.
Yeah, well, it's rhythm. I mean, look, it takes a long time for an individual to work the rhythm out. Yeah. So I guess if you put two more individuals on stage, there's even more rhythm work to do.
But we also have the advantage of like knowing each other our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, we get a vibe. We like
can act more natural on stage once we like are comfortable just being on stage.
Mm. Yeah.
So
if someone gets a good punchline, you know it's gonna. You kind of let the next one or two people say something. Like,
yeah. Do you? How does the writing process work?
Individually, we try to write jokes on our own, and then we'll bring it to the table, kind of workshop it.
It's kind of like a writer's room.
Yeah.
We kind of like pitch them and then like try it out and see how it goes.
But way dumber.
Hansen was just in here.
We saw that
on the
it's multiples week. The Phil, the Mara right. twins, Hansen.
Mayor, how dare you.
Mayor, sorry. I don't want to disrespect him.
Yeah. If there was a second Mar, that would be horrible. One's bad enough. We got enough trouble with the first one. In their latest album, they just did. They broke it off into thirds. Like you write, you know, you write 33%, you write 33%, and you write 33% of the album.
See, well, that seems weird because then if like you could see which songs are way more popular than the other ones. So
right.
It's clearly showing that who has a talent. At least this we can hide all the jokes and take credit for tagging.
I would like to do that because. You know, Mitchell sometimes thinks he's the best joke writer or something. And it's like, all right, let's try it out. Let's see who's the funniest.
Fact.
No.
John's. Well, it is interesting in that if it's a band and you do a song and, you know, the drummer likes his song and the bass player likes his song, you can put it in front of the audience and get a vibe.
Yeah.
But you can't get the initial audible reaction to a joke that works or doesn't work, but then if your joke doesn't work, then you're going to accuse him of sort of, well, you didn't land it right, right? You didn't deliver it. If you had done your job on this joke, it would have flown or soared.
If a joke bombs, then we'll just shit on the person that told the joke. Even if they didn't write it, we'll just think, oh, this guy sucks.
Yeah, he's the unfunny triplet, and then you just kind of try to move on after that. Yeah.
You ever do a show where one of you, you know, gets COVID and two of you, you're forced to go up and do stand-up with only two people?
Yeah. We've got a couple shows where we had to like fill in.
We have done that before, but it's not as fun. No. And the rhythm's just slightly off. I mean, any comedy set is lightning in a bottle half the time where it's like sometimes you just get that good audience, you get the good flow, and you just keep going. For us, it's like one little thing, just like a bad joke. It's all the same thing.
It is a letdown if you expect three people and then two people show up.
Yeah.
I
remember that time I went to a show and this one dude, it was just some dude named Dave Chappelle, and he stood there for like 90 minutes, and I was like, hello, where's the cavalry?
Yeah,
he just hogged the mic the whole time. Yammer.
Selfish.
Do you guys have, like, some comedians, like, let's say Margaret Cho, probably have a different audience, but Kathy Griffin, they have the gay, lesbian, some have a gay, some have like a lesbian, some have a black, some have a Hispanic.
Yeah.
Do you guys have like a multiples audience? I don't mean they all show up at the same time, but what I mean is like, you know, when you're doing social media and stuff, where people are like, oh, I have a twin and it's so right. Like, you're speaking about me and my sister or whatever.
It's only Siamese. Our audience is all Siamese, all twins and triplets and quads, and they all come to our show. And it makes it very difficult to seat them.
That and South Americans that want to fuck our butts.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, really?
Big with the gays.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I can see. Nice.
We do have a lot of parents that, like, empathize. Like, oh, my God, like, your mom is an angel. Like, they understand what they went through. Mm. Like, a lot of twins and triplet parents have reached out to us, be like, we really love what you're doing. Because our mom had four boys in 15 months. Like,
wow.
That's what everybody says. Yep. Wow.
And is he on the construction site getting yelled at by your dad? Or
He's going to take over the family business, and then we went the complete opposite way.
You know, I was thinking about the conjoined twins, I guess the Siamese twins.
Conjoined is the more politically correct.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah. But conjoined. I think there is an original Siamese twin.
That were from Siam?
Right.
Okay.
And,
makes sense.
Yeah. Oh. And they, two women, sure. I believe. I don't know. Emmy can look it up. I mean, it's flashes. But they tell these stories of like, well, you know, they were both married. And, you know, one of them married an alcoholic in a situation. And, you know, one of them had a husband who had quite a prodigious appetite sexually. And it was like, and on their honeymoon. And it was like,
I need all diagrams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it was a set of conjoined twins. It was two guys. Apparently one was straight and one was gay.
Whoa.
And the gay one had a husband. And, you know, there's nothing really you can do That's about that.
Just yeah, open
a,
your mind.
And he was a bottom, too, so they both got fucked in the ass.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of skated right over South Americans wanting to fuck your butts.
Oh, yeah. So all the time. Some of our favorite messages are just like one dude after we did a kid show on and they
Netflix.
Literally.
Let's specify that. We were on The Floor is Lava.
That's
on
probably
Netflix.
Better, yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're huge fans.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
He sent a message and he's just like, do you like boy pussy? And then he sent a picture of his hot Brazilian
his
asshole.
Wow.
So,
boy pussy.
My
Happy
theory,
Pride Month, everybody.
My theory is the Brazilians, you know, they're an ass-centric culture.
They got a and wax named after
spent
them.
A lot of time on their asses. They've dedicated parades to their asses. Yeah. Possibly monuments.
Yeah,
I don't know. If
Jesus de Cristo, the big monument there. If you look at the back, it's just
you gotta look at the back. Oh,
it's a fat Jesus ass. Is what
that's actually him saying. This is how big that booty was. That's
when his arms are out.
Stretching his arms out.
The Brazilian blowout has two meanings over there.
So they're very ass centric.
Yeah,
as a culture, and that's probably why there's no. Quality automobiles coming out of that country. The society can only focus so much on the ass before the durable goods end up the production slows down.
I thought you were just going to say that more of a boob culture produces better cars. I thought that's where you were going with
that. You know what? I think you're right. I think Germany is probably a more, I mean, you've seen the St. Pauli girl, you know, beer. And beer. I think they're more tit oriented.
So they
make a finer automobile, the Ferrari.
Yeah,
so
sounds like
more
you're right.
Bosom. Oriented, but the more ass oriented, you know, the Latin cultures, they're more ass oriented and they don't produce a fine automobile.
Yeah. Well, what are the Asian cultures? Are they boob or tit or a tit or ass heavy? Because they produce the most cars, not necessarily the quality of them.
Yeah. I'd have to really break that one down because it is true the Asian don't make a commitment on the ass versus the boob.
Well, they hide everything too.
They
like to smash their feet in and like they
bind,
like to hide.
Binding. Yeah.
They put everything down. But I feel like Asians are more of a boob culture for sure. Yeah.
I don't know. I try not to associate with any of them. So
what about your old friend Minka?
Oh, Minka, number one Asian big boob queen.
There you go.
Ooh.
Yeah, do you guys know Minka?
I don't.
Minka.
We don't. I'm going to look her up after this.
She's number one. She's the number one Asian big boob queen. She used to play tennis, I think.
Number one Asian big boob queen.
Yeah.
So to your point about
I can't believe you guys aren't familiar with Minka.
I've seen her on the hub a couple times.
First, she don't play tennis no more.
First the Mayer brothers, and now Minka's been a really
a different set of twins. Yes.
Yeah.
Who's number one?
Yeah, Aunt Minka's number one.
Those are beautiful.
She's a number one Asian big boob queen.
Who's number one?
Are those real? I'm assuming no.
No.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Well, no. You never know. I don't know.
They're real. Like, you can touch them. They exist in the world.
They're tangible.
You know what
they're
tangible.
I think they're so big that that's where all the terracotta soldiers were hidden underneath those inside those boobs.
All right, so... There's
back
least,
to business.
Look, there's a market for big boob Asian big boob queens, but she lives out here. You know, last time I ran into her, we were in Vegas.
Nice.
So, you know,
number one.
Yeah, she's
Asian
number one
big boob queen.
That's from Loveline from like, I don't know, 2002.
That's before my time.
Oh, before your time. I was like, I was at Olympic Gardens in Vegas.
Fancy.
I ran into Minka. And I said, hey, come on Loveline next time you're in L.A. And sure enough, she brought her boobs in.
Give yourself some credit on this one because you had a funny thing with her where you'd come back from break. You're like, oh, we're here with Minka, who is the number two big boob queen. And she'd go,
who is number one?
Oh, so you're the top eight of big boob queens, Minka?
Who is number one?
So I just checked Rolling Stone's rankings of big boob queens, and they have you just below the aforementioned Margaret Cho.
Who is number one?
No, number one, you're saying. Well, we got to get your publicist out there. Because,
number one, Asian big boob queen.
Minka, the honorable mention queen, yes.
Yes, you got the bronze of Asian big boob.
Yeah.
Who is number
Margaret
one?
Might have a nice pair under there.
So here's my thought on Brazil and the ass, and why they have the best asses. Mm. And it's also It's connected to my thoughts on why we think black men all have huge penises.
Oh, do tell.
I think, we think, black men have huge hogs because we live in a society that is systemically racist. And we would never let a black guy into the porn industry with a small or average size hog.
Wow.
Because we have no need for him. If you're going to be a black guy, especially in all the stuff you grew up in 70s, 80s, 90s, we would not let a medium-sized brother in into the porn industry. So we only
gotta get
do
a gimmick.
It based on hog size.
Right.
Yes.
And sadly, the only black cock we're exposed to in nature is via porn.
Right.
Most folks, unless you played some D1 basketball or something, you hit the shower. So we then assume they're all huge based on our porn experiences. Yeah. What do you guys think of that?
I agree with that. I also empathize with the poor black people that have smaller, average to smaller dicks because they're being body shamed the entire time.
And porn has now ruined your identity because it's like, it's going to be a disappointment if all America has just seen the massive hogs that, well, let's see, who was a
Field Marshal Bradley?
F.M. Bradley. He's one of the brothers from back in the day. So now getting back to the Brazilian ass worship.
Yes.
I say, while they have beautiful bulbous asses, it's not so much the shape as it is the color. The skin tone, that honey color,
caramel.
Is perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's perfect ass accentuation color. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Too black is it doesn't pop, doesn't kick the light off right.
Yeah.
Pasty white's too a white. Shit show. Yeah. That's no
it
good.
It looks ill.
Yeah.
The right hue
yeah.
on that ass. And I think they've sussed that out. Their ancestors figured that out early and went, you know what? We have a perfect climate for ass.
Yes. Sweet butterscotch colored ass.
This is us. And so Germany, who has the wrong color for ass, they went full bustier and then put the baggy skirt down.
Yes.
We're going thongs. Thongs to work, thongs to funerals, thongs.
Hospice.
We are a thong-centric society because we are the right color for this.
Well, and that's also why they tan so much. They must have like, all right, you have to tan this much in order to get that perfect caramel hue. Mm-hmm. Whereas Germans, I don't think they tan ever.
No.
They cover up.
They have
a lot of
wasn't there
things.
Some sort of ass? I mean, wasn't there? I don't know what we saw online or something a million years ago, but I feel like they have like entire months dedicated to ass or ass competitions. Like, Brazil
Boom
has
Boom.
Like,
oh yeah,
Miss,
that was the thing,
Miss Boom Boom,
Miss Back Crack. Yeah. You know, like they have
that's right.
Whole
but they celebrate the ass,
celebrate,
yeah. Pageantry.
Yes.
Well,
Carnival is like literally just everybody has their ass out the entire time.
That's right.
But I think there's an actual designation. Like you get a sash and a sash.
Oh, we did the story.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
That was Gina's story.
That's right.
Yeah. Miss Bum Bum.
Instead of like Juneteenth, they have like Poonteenth and they kind of pop their. You know, they celebrate. Well, they're definitely way more of a sexual culture. I had my first Brazilian hookup like a couple months ago, and immediately top five. Just way more sexual, way more passionate than any of the white girls I've ever hooked up with.
And probably more confident in what they want instead of like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Not number one Brazilian big boob queen?
No, she was definitely probably – I don't want to – you know, I got to be vague.
He doesn't want to kiss and tell.
You want to give the other girl something like, to work up to. Right. You can't just be like, number one, that's it.
Like on the podium? Like
yeah, did she podium?
Oh, she podium for sure.
Who's number one?
We were trying
you can't hear it.
Sorry, I don't have my headphones on.
Oh, yeah. So and then here's a more deeper question, maybe for Gina, in terms of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I think, remember the number one child show hostess, like Shushu or whatever her name was? Now, it's going to come to you guys.
Is this modern or is this back?
This, like is, going, 80s, 90s? This is going back. If anyone remembers the Doc Senna, I think they had something going on.
Oh.
And she was this high-booted, tight pant wearing, blonde, you know, wildly inappropriate for anyone under 70, yeah. Right?
Got it.
But her thing was she ran the biggest children's show in Brazil. And
I kind of remember
she's
this.
Like yeah. shaking her ass and
yeah,
showing
Zsuzsa?
Zsuzsa.
Wildly inappropriate.
Yes, but the whole point is they get them early
yeah.
over
oh,
there.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, seven-year-olds, you're going to be waving your ass around town in a few short years. So let's get you
on it.
Right.
Let's get you in. Let's get you in the tent now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know
it.
If they have, they don't have baby pageantry events out there. So that might just be their form.
Or
of that.
Maybe they do. And we would be appalled. Emmy, see if you can find Gina. How do you say
XUXA? Zsuzsa.
Zsuzsa.
Oh, I'm familiar. I used to watch it when I was a child.
Oh,
wow. That's what happened to your sexuality. You watched Zsuzsa when you were a kid?
Zsuzsa.
Zsuzsa. Yeah,
she
good.
Was big in Brazil, but my family
is like
from Argentina.
I hold up.
This illustrates my life perfectly, which is we found a picture of her wearing a tuna boat fisherman's full rain gear.
Yeah. Long John Silver up in here.
She looks like Paddington.
The Morton Salt.
And with a jacket and...
long sleeves.
She borrowed David Tell's hat.
Yes.
But the kids are all, they're stoked. They're
ben,
ecstatic.
Take this goddamn picture off the motherfucking screen. Jesus
Christ. Sling blade in the back there.
I say
Cobra
this
Kai.
All the time. You may find pictures of these people, but unless they illustrate what we're speaking of, Gina will find it. Yeah.
Talking about Dominique Wilkins being a dominating dunker and it's a shot of him shooting a free throw, stretching for the game.
Yeah, or sitting in his garage eating an apple. Yes, I've never seen a picture of her out of the knee-high boots and the hot pants, but evidently we've been able to unearth one.
Oh, that's standing.
The safe search is on Google, that's why.
Yeah, she was in the Senna doc, right?
I guess it does sound for I don't know how else I would know about her.
Yeah, that's how else. That's the only way you would know about her.
Okay, that's better.
There she is.
She is showing anal cleft.
Anal cleft.
That's not even long enough to cover the lips.
No. Yes, yes.
She's got the thigh gap.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Free the lip.
Wow. Mm.
Yep, that is the wonderful Zsuzsa.
But again, the enthusiasm level is still very high with everybody in the back. Mm. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You have to get a shot of her ass.
You want
to
be.
Yeah, well, if you're trying to get a message across, it's a good way to do it.
Look at the girl staring up at her as like, I'm going to build an ass like that one day.
Yeah, that's an ass to aspire to.
Yes.
So we had like Captain Kangaroo and Hobo Kelly and Sheriff John fully dressed, frumpy,
nary an ass crack
people.
To be seen.
No ass crack, no
Mr.
back
Rogers.
Sack, almost nothing. Yeah, we had very wholesome stuff. But again, our culture isn't ass-oriented.
No, we're very buttoned up, too.
Yes, we are. All right.
It's starting to get better.
Let me hit a quick spot. I want to give you guys a plug for the live dates. What's the best way to do that?
VersiTriplets.com. We have a Tour is Lava comedy tour coming out later this year. But everything on at VersiTriplets, V-I-R-Z-I Triplets.
Can I bring my five-year-old based on the name?
I would not recommend it.
We might do some clean shows. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. We might add some.
All right. Let me hit CBDX Delta 8 THC, new cannabinoids, sweeping the hemp and health and wellness market, CBDX.com. Sells Delta 8 products, which feel just like cannabis. Vape products, actual flower bud, and... flower, bud, and gummies, even concentrates. Legal, as per the 2018 Farm Bill Congress passed, ships to 39 states. Use the code ADAM for not only 20% off your first order, but more. Orders ship within 24 hours. That's four letters, by the way, CBDX.com. Use the promo code ADAM. So, if this is your thing, look no further than CBDX and get in on some of that Delta 8 THC. Am I right, Dawson?
But do not drive or operate machinery. Do not drive or operate machinery when using these products. Please be responsible.
All right.
Not your fault. The one guy with no headphones. It's not your fault.
I'm sorry.
The Verzi Triplets, and you can Facebook and YouTube them as well at the Verzi Triplets. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Comedian Tony Baker in studio right after this.